Have you noticed in the last decade or so how much we've been conditioned to be dissatisfied with ordinary things? With ordinary dish soap or ordinary smartphones or even ordinary church services? Welcome to Through the Bible. Our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, would have had a lot to say about this need something better than ordinary trend. In fact, we're learning in our study of Leviticus how God takes the ordinary and makes it sacred, simply because he puts it to use for his glory. Well, with that definition, we should be happy that we're ordinary, all of us. Even the famous and celebrities among us have nothing to boast in except that God is transforming us to be more like his son. And in that process, he's bringing himself glory. Well, that's all pretty amazing, isn't it? Dr. McGee loved the idea that we are all just plain ordinary folk, as he liked to say. And here he is reading a letter to illustrate just that.
Now I have a very interesting letter that comes from Argyle, Wisconsin. It says, "We hear your broadcast while in the barn doing chores. We look forward to your program so much, especially your down-home country style. You seem like just plain folk, like the rest of the farmers around our area." And I appreciate a letter like that, because that's the way we want to come through, because that's what we are, just plain, ordinary folk.
That's great. Here's another letter. This is from Kathy in Yucca Valley, California. I found a copy of Dr. McGee's commentaries in a church library years ago and used them to help me study and teach a woman's Sunday school class. I'm grateful for the way Dr. McGee teaches in such an ordinary way, yet it communicates the extraordinary and timeless. Now, 15 years later, I read and study and pray with you folks via my cell phone. The technology is amazing, but the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, that's so true, Kathy. Now let's get into God's word right now, beginning with prayer. Thank you, Father, that your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Teach us now through your spirit and your word. Draw someone to yourself today as they listen, perhaps for the first time. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we have here the ceremonial cleansing of leprosy. And again, I must insist that we are not being given a cure for leprosy. This is the ceremonial cleansing after a leper is cleansed. In the last chapter, we saw the details concerning leprosy, of how they came to the decision concerning whether a person had leprosy. And it was the diagnosis of all kinds of leprosy. Now, this is the cleansing of it. We're going to see that it apparently was cured, as we suggested before. Evidently, were those that were cured by the treatment of that day, whatever it was. And there were those that were healed supernaturally, as we've suggested. And today, there is a cure for it, and it's not presented in Scripture as an incurable disease. But since it's the worst disease of that day, it is used to set forth sin. And in it are tremendous spiritual lessons for us. And this chapter now brings in a ray of light and hope into the darkness of the leper's plight. And we'll see that here. Now, it represents sin, as we've said. When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, it moved in a twofold direction. You see, it affected both God and man. Now, it moved upward toward God, and man was guilty before a holy God. And that guilt had to be removed if man is to be accepted. But it moved downward toward man, and man became polluted and contaminated with sin. Now, leprosy reveals sin in its pollution and contamination. In my book, I have a little chart that illustrates that. Upward, guilt. Downward, pollution. Now, we come to a chapter that will bring before us, I suppose, one of the most unique offerings that you'll find in the Bible, one of the most unique you've ever heard of, for the cleansing of leprosy. And I want to begin reading now at verse 1. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priests, and the priests shall go out of the camp, and the priests shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Now you see, he's not going out to heal him. He's going to go out and see if he is healed. That's important, and that makes the significant statement here, the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Now, this is a ritual which was to be followed in detail, and there was, therefore, this cleansing, and it's a ceremonial cleansing, and it always followed the cure of leprosy. Now, he'd been pronounced a leper by the priest. Now, the priest must declare him cleansed. And there was two steps in the process. The priest must first go unto the leper and meet him where he is. The leper, of course, would not dare come into the society among people because he was forbidden to do that. He was shut out, and therefore the priest had to go out to him wherever he was. And you remember when our Lord was here in Luke 17:12, it says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Why'd they stand afar off? Well, they're lepers. And then the priest went unto them, and our Lord went unto these lepers, by the way. Now, we have here, therefore, a parallel to the person and work of our great high priest and our great physician. He came forth from heaven's glory to this sin-cursed earth. Friends, we couldn't make it up there. We've done well to make it to the moon, and we didn't get rid of sin when we went to the moon. But the fact of the matter is, he came out of heaven's glory to this earth. And I think that lovely hymn has it accurately, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. Now, that's his story. And you find that given with a great deal of emphasis as it describes his long pilgrimage when he left heaven's glory to this earth. And it's in the second chapter of Hebrews. I'm not going to read all of that section, but let me just lift out one or two things. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should he taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And then we're told that he came down to this earth, and he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So that he came out of heaven's glory down to this earth. The priest had to go out to the leper. Christ came down where we were in a world of woe. And Paul in Galatians says, for when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And this is so important that even today, he says, even in a Laodicean day, when he's apparently no longer in the organized church, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, the Lord Jesus came down to this earth for that purpose. And he came down to touch the leper, that he might be made whole, to touch the sinner. Now notice what the priest did when he came down out to the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, 2 birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Now, didn't I tell you we were going to see an unusual ceremony? This is it. I don't think there's anything anywhere as unusual as this is. This is the cleansing of the lepers. All sacrifices were made on that altar that was in the tabernacle and later in the temple. No other place, God says. This is the exception. Why? Well, the altar, you see, is that cross of Christ. And it was reared right down here on this earth. And that altar speaks of that. But you see, he came down here where the leper is. And the leper didn't have access to the tabernacle. He was shut out. Friends, we were shut out from God. We were strangers. We were afar off. We were without hope and without God in the world. And he came out to where we were to meet our need. Now, there are two live, clean birds, a dove, I suppose. Now, one represents the death of Christ, and the second bird represents the resurrection of Christ. These are the two great facets of the gospel, and both are essential. Paul said to the Corinthians, this is the gospel. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Two birds, one representing the death, one the resurrection. Now, cedar wood, that's a symbol, I think, of the perfect humanity of Christ. The wood was incorruptible. It served a practical purpose as the handle of a brush to which the hyssop was tied with a scarlet string, and scarlet was evidently scarlet wool. Now, we're told the third thing here is scarlet is a sign of faith in the blood. And this reminds us that Rahab, you know, was instructed to put out a scarlet cord as an evidence of her faith. And then hyssop was a plant that grew upon rocks and damp places. And hyssop represents faith of the individual. It's the appropriation and the application of the redemption in Christ. Now, you can stand at the sidelines and nod your head and say you believe Jesus died and he rose again. That doesn't mean you're saved. Have you appropriated for yourself? Have you really trusted him? This is a tremendous ceremony, friends. And then the earthen vessel speaks of the humanity of Christ. He took part of our flesh, our humanity. And we're told we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and the earthen vessel is this body that we have. Now, the emphasis here, of course, is upon the weakness and infirmity of humanity. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tested like as we are, yet he was without sin. Now, running water is living water, water that was taken out of a branch that was running. Maybe some of you people in some sections of the country don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about branch water. Where I come from, a branch is a little creek, a little rivulet, maybe some of you call it, that runs along. It's running water. And this water that was taken from a running stream or fountain, it speaks of both the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And the ritual is both unusual and beautiful. One of the birds is slain over the earthen vessel in which there's living water. This represents the death of Christ who offered himself by the eternal Spirit. The writer to the Hebrews in 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living and true God? Now, two birds are essential, as you can see, because one of them is killed, and then the live bird is dipped in the blood of the slain bird to identify him with the bird that was slain, that we have a carrying through of the same great truth. And the live bird is given its freedom by permitting it to fly away. And Christ was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised for our justification. Friends, to give us the liberty to stand steadfast in Christ. And we're told in Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage, with a law, or rituals, or regulations. Now Christ took our place, died, paid the penalty. He was raised for us. And if he died for us down here, and we died in him, then we're in him up yonder, because he's been raised from the dead and at God's right hand. And we're joined today to the living Christ. and the believers as free as the birds of heaven in being delivered from religion, ritual, and law. He is now, though a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's subject to him. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments today. Now, hyssop here denotes the faith of the sinners in the application of the blood of Christ. You remember that David cried out, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It's the application of the death of Christ, the blood of Christ to our sins. And again, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The application of the blood of Christ to our lives. Now the blood and the water meet in this ceremony. You notice that, the living water and the blood. John was careful to note, you remember when Christ died, that when the spear was put in his side, there came out both blood and water. Not just one, but both. And he tells us that in his gospel. He tells us that in his first epistle. One school of the Gnostics of John's day taught that Jesus was not God, but that God came upon him at baptism, that's water, but departed at the cross, blood. John insists that he was God from the very beginning when he was made flesh, and he was God on the cross when he shed his precious blood. This is the testimony of Scripture. And John says, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. These three agree in one. What a marvelous thing this is. Now the ceremony and offering concerning the leper all bore this out. And it illustrates, you see, this great truth. Now we're told in verses 8 and 9, and he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean, and after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of the tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh and water, and he shall be clean. And you have to admit, this is unusual also. Now, this is part of the sacrificial ceremony and has to do with the acceptance of the leper back in among others. He's returning back to society. And all of this had to do with the fact that the old life has ended for him. He's no longer a leper, but a new life opens for him. And his clothes represent the habits of life. And shaving all the hair of his body emphasizes the radical and revolutionary change that's going to take place in the life of the believer when he comes to Christ. You see, the putting away of the flesh is essential to a consistent walk before the world. And the Lord Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And that's still the test tube for his own today. And 7 days is a complete cycle of inspection and testing. He's to be tested, you see, before he returns to society. I think sometimes we let some folk give a testimony a little too soon. That was true of some of these Hollywood so-called converts. They testified a little too soon. They're to be put up after they're supposed to be cleansed of leprosy. And he's to wash him thoroughly. And the child of God must continually do this. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. And sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And friends, you can never be cleansed or sanctified, set apart for God's use, until you come to the word of God. How important that is. Now, we have the ceremonial cleansing of the leper within the camp. And on the eighth day, he shall take 2 he-lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb, the first year without blemish, 3/10 deals of fine flour, meal offered, mingled with oil, and 1 of oil. Now, you see, the ceremonial cleansing of the leper is not concluded with the offering of the 2 birds without the camp. He's now made fit to enter the congregation of the Lord again. But when he does, he must take his place with the other Israelites, and when he does, he must bring what every other Israelite had to the tabernacle, 2 he-lambs, 1 ewe lamb, fine flour, oil, and a log of oil. All of that had to be brought. And these are the requirements for all sacrifices. which an Israelite would make in his entire lifetime. And this indicates the full acceptance of the cleansed leper. Now you have a long ritual here. And from verses 11 through 20, it's actually 10 verses, and it's just one sentence in the Authorized Version. You see here, this encompasses all the offerings. And this means the cleansed leper now stands before the door of the tabernacle as any other Israelite. And all of these offerings speak of Christ and that he's made acceptable to God now, not just because he's a cleansed leper. You see, there's a danger today of Christians feeling super duper. And today we have quite a few groups, they withdraw from the others and they're going to live differently and act differently, and they're so much better than the others. My friend, may I say to you that you have to come just like all the rest of us come. And all these offerings had to be made. You remember that Peter said to the Lord Jesus, "You'll not wash me." Our Lord says, "You'll not have any fellowship with me unless I wash you." And my friend, he's saying that to you and to me today. This idea today that you can withdraw from others and you can set up your own little group and you don't have to get into a church and you don't have to work today. You don't have to be concerned. May I say to you, you miss the whole point. The leper was brought back, yes, cleansed, but he's brought back into the congregation and he stands as a sinner before God that needs constant cleansing. And by the way, here at the end, we have the ceremonial cleansing of a house wherein has been leprosy. And I must confess that this is an unusual place to discover leprosy. But as you know, they have to fumigate places today where contagious diseases have been. And that's exactly what you have here. The ceremony is very much the same. You and I live in an old house down here. This body of ours, it's filled with leprosy. We still have this old nature and the old body. I'm going to trade mine in one day on a new one. The house here had to be emptied of its furniture and occupants, and then the priest comes at the end of 7 days and looks it over again. It had to be inspected, and we get rid of these old bodies of ours. And then there's another aspect of it here. It's quite an extended suggestion. The priest comes at the end of 7 days. He discovers a trace of leprosy. Then he removes the plaster from the infected part. In fact, he just about has to build a new house. And the third and final stage is when the priest comes and finds remnants of the infection. And then the house is to be demolished and removed out of the city. And a new one has to be brought in. And friends, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. That's what he says that he's going to do. What a tremendous thing this is. And then you have here concluding this, the last few verses, a ceremonial law for cleansing of leprosy and issues of blood. This is an emphatic enforcement of the law concerning the cleansing of the leprosy. What a great spiritual lesson is here. To teach, we're told, is the important thing here. That you and I have spiritual leprosy today. And friends, if you and I went to heaven without Jesus Christ, without trusting him, we'd have to run all over the place crying out, "Unclean, unclean." But in Christ, we're accepted in the Beloved. Where are you today? Are you a leper that has not been cleansed or a leper that has been cleansed?
There's no shame in admitting that we need Jesus. We're all sinners. Spiritual lepers. As Dr. McGee asked just now, have you come to Jesus and been cleansed? Jesus promised in John chapter 6 that the one who comes to him, he will by no means cast out. Well, if you'd like to know more about how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, please go to ttb.org and click on the banner that says, "How Can I Know God?" to read some helpful resources from Dr. McGee. Now, as you know, December's letter month, and we can't wait to get yours. And I'd like to add that we would love to hear a specific lesson that God has taught you in our studies together. If you've got a story or a lesson to share, drop us an email today at BibleBus@ttb.org or write to us at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. And as always, if we can help you find a resource from Dr. McGee, give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Well, the Bible Bus is back in Leviticus on Monday. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving you a seat. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.